Blog Talk Radio.
You are solely responsible for your interactions with other listeners of the Love Zone USA. You understand that the Love Zone USA does not in any way screen its listeners, nor does the Love Zone USA inquire into the backgrounds of its listeners or attempt to verify the statements of its listeners. The Love Zone USA makes no representations or warranties as to the conduct of its listeners or their compatibility with any current or future listeners. In no event shall the Love Zone USA or Blog Talk Radio be liable for any damages whatsoever, whether direct, indirect, general, special, compensatory, consequential, and or incidental, arising out of or relating to the conduct of you or anyone else in connection with the use of this service, including without limitation bodily injury, emotional distress, and or any other damages resulting from communications or meetings with other listeners of this service or persons you meet through this service. You agree to take reasonable precautions in all interactions with other listeners of the Love Zone USA, particularly if you decide to meet in person. In addition, you understand that the Love Zone USA makes no guarantees, either expressed or implied, regarding your ultimate compatibility with individuals you meet through listening to the Love Zone USA. The Love Zone USA. The Love Zone USA.
Love Zone. Come along with me.
our theme song along with Billy Ocean, The Love Zone. It's a place where you can live and learn. And we always say we're spreading love all over the world. And more importantly, it's a place where you can listen to your heart and live and learn. And we're here to connect you and elevate you, educate you, and most importantly, entertain you. Sit back, relax, get your favorite cocktail. We've got some special shows coming up, and I would be remiss if I didn't remind you that tomorrow night, before I start off with tonight's show, we're going to be here. Normally, we don't do Friday nights. It's usually just one night a week. But tomorrow is very special. We're having a Victory Online Party, an internet broadcast, and it's in honor of the victory celebration for President Barack Obama. That's right. We're doing a victory celebration for him. We've invited a lot of specially invited guests, some celebrities and people around town, and you're going to get a chance to listen to them as well as a lot of great music. So we want you to be sure to join us tomorrow night. But tonight's show is just as special. Yes, it is. We've had this gentleman on before, and we're having him back tonight, and it's in regards to his brand new book that's been released, and we stated that we're going to have him once, you know, he was back with his book, and it is here. It is available for you, and guess what? It is so special, we're going to allow you to win the book tonight. That's right. You're going to get a chance to win it, so you have to listen in. Definitely have to listen in. And who is our guest this evening? Well, he is the celebrity attorney. Well known, his name is Raul Felder, and his book is entitled A Memoir, Reflections in a Mirror of Love, Loss, Death, and Divorce. It's going to be a very special show because it's going to cover a lot of different areas. We're going to try to get it all in. I know it's going to be difficult because it's pretty extensive, but that's the title of the book, A Memoir, Reflections in a Mirror of Love, Loss, Death, and Divorce. Our special guest will be here around 8:30 p.m., and that's Mr. Raul Felder here inside the Love Zone USA. Well, that brings me to Hurricane Sandy. Well, guess what? We didn't give it away because a book that we were going to give away a few weeks ago on the show that was scheduled with Shalaya, and we're going to give away that book and announce the winners tonight. So if you'd like to win that book, all you have to do is call in. Our telephone number is 347-539-5729, and we're going to give away the book WTH. WTH, What Are Men Thinking? That's right. We're going to give away that book tonight. So if you want to win that book, all you have to do is call in. And and definitely speak to our producer, and we're going to try to see if we can get you on the air and hook you up with the brand new book that we didn't get a chance to give away. That was a couple of weeks ago when Hurricane Sandy hit, and it was supposed to be scheduled for November 1st. We were a little bit delayed, and we didn't give it away last week. You know, just playing catch-up here with the hurricane and rescheduling shows a little bit. So we're going to give away that book tonight, and we're inviting you to call in if you want to win that book. And that's a special book that we talked about. And if you missed the show, it's on our Blog Talk radio list. That's WTF, Are Men Thinking? Yeah, that was a book with our authors a few weeks ago that we had on the show. So make sure you give us a call, 347-539-5729. You can do that real soon if you'd like to. We'll give it away quick. Now, we're going to get into some music. And our first song up tonight, we're going to get into a little bit of truth. And here it is, on the Love Zone USA. All I do.
Hey, My good buddy who I used to work with over at Sirius Satellite Radio. That's D-Train. Yeah, you're the one for me. Yeah, D-Train's a good friend of mine. We got to get him on the show, too. Absolutely. Here inside the Love Zone USA, my name is Mike T, and I'm your host. We've got our producer here who's also been affected by Hurricane Sandy a few weeks ago. I told you when I was doing the show myself. Yeah, so we're all back, and we're here, and for those who don't have power as of yet, and I know there are people out there who are still suffering from that superstorm, I can't tell you how I couldn't imagine. I just can't imagine. I know it must be very excruciating to live like that. But, you know, there are many telethons around. I've seen them online. All I can say to our audience is give. give. It doesn't hurt to give, especially when people are in need. Yes, indeedy. And the Red Cross is one of the places that you can give. And I've done it, so make sure that you pull up their website, because it's a place where you can rest assured that your money will get to the people who are in need. So that's very important, especially when they are in need. All right, like I said, tomorrow night we've got a very special show. It's honoring our president, Barack Obama. So we're going to do a special show. It's going to be a celebration, victory celebration, broadcast live here inside the Love Zone USA. We've invited some very special guests to stop by, say a few words, and there's going to be plenty of music, and we invite each and every one of you. Tell your friends. Come on out. It's time for us to all come together and support our president. As you probably know, then he is won by landslide, and that's a victory to be celebrated, definitely. Two terms. And there's a lot of work to do, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow night. So we just want you to stop by, hang out, enjoy the celebration, because we are going to celebrate our president tomorrow. And tonight's show is very special as well. Yeah, we're going to have a very special guest in a little while. He should be here. His name is Raul Felder. He's a celebrity attorney. He's been on our show before. If you look on Blog Talk Radio, you'll see our show, Everything You Wanted to Know About Divorce. This is the Duke of Divorce. He'll be here tonight. But he's here to talk about his book, a book entitled A Memoir, Reflections in a Mirror of Love, Loss, Death, and Divorce. And we're going to be giving away that book tonight. But you got to listen in to win. And we are going to give away the other book that we weren't able to give away during Hurricane Sandy, and we rescheduled those shows. It was going to be given away November 1st, and that was the night that we had Shalaya scheduled, and that's going to be rescheduled. We're just juggling shows around to get it all in for you and get the right dates and coordinate it, because, you know, it's all I can say is that, those shows have to be rescheduled, but, you know, you have to coordinate it with everyone in their schedules. So that's what we're in the process of doing. So in the meantime, we're going to get back to some more music, and I'm going to kick it off with this one while my producer is working on some things in the background. And our guest will be here in a little while, but right now I'm going to get into some Chaka Khan, and this is entitled, What You Gonna Do For Me, here inside the Love Zone USA.
Thank you. myself that we could never be more than friends. Although while inside I knew it was me, the way you made me
Love Zone USA. The Love Zone USA. Here, love here the temptation. Jaheim.
Hey, how you doing? Oh, baby, won't you get me up with you? I don't know what your name is or who you came with, but I ain't leaving without you.
Smokey Robinson.
Do you want a revolution? I say, do you want a revolution?
USA. With yours truly, Mike T, and my producer, Tony Diamond on the MP3s. And that group that you just heard, they're going to be here tomorrow night to honor our president, President Barack Obama. We want you to stop by as well as we celebrate his victory. Right now, with no further ado, I have my guest here, and I think my guest is on the line.
I'm here, Mike.
Raul, how are you?
Good, good. Surviving.
Surviving? Oh, well, after reading a little bit of your book, it sounds like you're doing a lot better than surviving.
Yeah, well, I make do, but I think the book is interesting because it describes urban life. It starts out that way at a certain time and place in the early 1940s. Actually, part of it goes back to the early 1930s, and it was a tough time for everybody. And people forget that. And in fact, we only got out of the Depression because of the Second War. You know, all the factories had to be filled with all this stuff. And I don't think people have written about that, and I experienced that. And here we are today, but where we are today is a product of where we were yesterday. So that's why I wrote about yesterday.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because in reading that, Raul, I have to ask you, because my parents passed away, and I didn't get a chance to talk to them about their life after the Depression.
Yeah.
It's something I think that most people suppressed, and maybe you can give our audience some reflection on what life was like.
Yeah. First thing I got to tell you is my parents didn't speak to me about it at all, too.
Right.
I had to reconstruct and rebuild and understand what happened. So you're not unique. I guess it was a terrible time. It was worse for my brother, who was handicapped. And in those days, polio, victim of polio.
Right.
And then, although handicapped, he became a blues singer. And he finally had a hit record. And RCA bought the record. And they found that he was handicapped. So they felt that he won't be able to go on stage and clubs and all this stuff, and they killed the record. And then he had a lot of bad times, and then he started to write music. And he wrote songs like Save the Last Dance for Me, Teenage in Love, This Magic Moment, Viva La Fe, many, many, 1,500 songs. And he resurrected himself again. And then, well, he had a lot of sort of setbacks at a certain point. Wife left him. Polio, the symptoms were coming back. His partner went to Europe, writing partner went to Europe, and his life took a plunge, and he supported himself by running gambling games, running card games. Then they were busted by the police, and then he resurrected himself. And the last song he wrote, they'll always wait, oh God, B.B. King made a record of it. Well, there's always one more time, and the album won a Grammy. So with the trajectory of that kind of life, you don't meet many people that have that. And so I thought I wanted to share it with people because, as you said in the record, in the song, there's always one more time.
You know what, Arau, I was reading about your brother, and it just hit me, you know, hard as a brick, because I was questioning, matter of fact, a program director today and asked him, did he know the name Doc Pomus?
Yeah.
And he didn't know. And then I spoke to a very, very knowledgeable entertainment attorney who I work with, and he wasn't familiar with the name. So for our audience, before we talk about your brother again, I want to play just a few songs, some snippets from some songs, so that they know, now that I know who he is, because once you hear these songs, you know who your brother is. So give me a second. Here he is. This is Raul Felder's brother, who he's talking about, who had polio. And these are some of the songs that he wrote. Here it is on the Love Zone USA.
Young love, I can't get you out of my mind.
I live all lonely and blue. Oh, yes, I am. Now you know my
and I am just a devil with no despair.
Be my Las Vegas.
Why must I be a teenager in so different and so new, was like any other.
And I got to tell you, Raul, when I heard those songs, I was like, I was blown away, because a lot of those songs were very good time, good feeling songs. I remember my parents played them around the house, and, you know, they emanated good feelings. And could you tell us a little bit about your brother and when he was writing those, or maybe what, some of the things of how they came about?
Well, Save the Last Dance for me, he got married, and right. Everybody was dancing at this wedding and dancing with his wife, his new wife, and he looked at that, and he said, he scribbled the lyrics, Save the Last Dance, don't go, I'm the guy who's going to take you home, and so forth. And that was the birth of that song. It was the number one song for a long time. You know, all around the world, they still play it. When he had his last illness, somebody sent him a record. And he opened it up and in the hospital, he puts it on the thing. And I suddenly realize it's Ray Charles on the record talking to him. Says, you know, I can't get there. You know, it's hard for me and I can't get there. And it went on, a lot of personal stuff. And he touched a lot of people's lives. You know, somebody told me when B.B. King made that last album, There's Always One More Chance, they said B.B. King couldn't finish the song. He broke up.
Wow. Wow.
It's amazing. And people are, I mean, he had his own terrors, but we all have our terrors.
Right.
And you got to get through the night. That's what you have to do.
Absolutely. You know, when we come back, I want to talk about the apartment building that you guys lived in Brooklyn. I know your life is totally different from that now, but, you know, I want to take you back a little bit. And before we get back to that, I'm going to go into some music, and then we're going to talk about the early beginnings. And then I want to bring everybody up to speed, especially to some of the things that you talked about in the book that I had the pleasure of reading. It's just a wonderful book. It really is.
Thank you, Mike.
It's amazing that you could remember some of that stuff, and you remembered it very clearly, and it painted pictures for me. So hold on for a second, and we're going to go into some music, and then we're going to come back and talk to Raul Felder, our celebrity attorney who's here inside the Love Zone USA. And the title of his book that we're highlighting tonight is Reflections in a Mirror. And this is a very special book, ladies and gentlemen. It's entitled Reflections in a Mirror of Love, Loss, Death, and Divorce. Right now, we're going to go into some Luther Vandross, and we're going to come back to Raul Felder after Luther, If Only for One Night, here inside the Love Zone USA.
Let me hold you tight. If Oh,
unmistakable voice of Luther Vandross as we continue with our interview of our celebrity guest, and his name is Raoul Felder, a celebrity attorney out of New York, and we're going to go back and take you back to the beginning with him and his brother and life in New York. And Raoul, why don't you tell our audience a little bit of the meager beginnings before we get to you graduating out of NYU in Brooklyn, New York. How was life at that time?
Well, you see, we didn't know we were poor because everybody was poor. And we didn't know we should have been unhappy because everybody was unhappy. But you were close to everybody in the neighborhood. Matter of fact, it was across the street, the other side of the street, there were Spanish, a lot of Spanish immigrants. And mm-hmm. in the evening, the summer, they would sit on the stoop and steps, we call it stoops, and play and sing. And my brother loved Latin music also.
And
when they originally recorded Save the Last Dance for Me, it was recorded rather conventionally. And then he had a thought, put a Latin beat at the beginning. And it dates back to those days. And if you play the record, you hear it at the beginning.
Absolutely.
My brother had an epiphany. Like he saw God. It was one record, Piney Brown Blues by Joe Turner. And that inspired him. And when he heard the record, he said to himself, that's what I want to do. And he became a blues singer. There's still records around floating around about him singing. but then he had the bad experience with RCA Records. The wheel turns around in everybody's life. Joe Turner was down on his luck at some point. And my brother got a hold of him, and he started getting him work and performing. And then my brother had the idea that there are a lot of Joe Turners around who've been cheated out of money by the record companies and the publishing houses, particularly African-American performers. They were just treated very poorly. So he made a project of it. And he started recouping money for lots and lots of these performers. The Smithsonian Institute, they established a blues project devoted to getting money for these people. And the last voice my brother heard was Joe Turner's. Not mine, not his kids, because when he was fading away, he wanted to hear Joe Turner sing. And that's how he faded away.
Wow. So when did you get involved? I guess after law school, I understand that you went into the government
prosecutor, and I'm an insomniac like my brother was. And at that point, he was living in a hotel called the Hotel Forest in New York. It's now called the Consulate, but Madison Square Garden was down the block. And one of the clowns from the circus took a prostitute into the hotel, and she murdered him. So after that, they thought they better change the name of the hotel. It's not good. So they changed the Consulate. But he used to hang out in the lobby. And around New York, it became known that he was there any time in the middle of the night. So he held court. And an array of every kind of New York character used to come in there and go by, from really big names to ordinary panhandlers. Anybody, and he used to have a card when a lot of songwriters would bug him. But he gave master classes for songwriters, but a lot of people think they're songwriters, as you know.
Right.
So
right.
He had a card made. I still have it somewhere. It says, in big letters, it says, Doc Pomus, and then it's small as, I've got my own troubles. And he had troubles, yeah.
So I understand. You know, we're going to talk about this as well. The path for you to getting to become a divorce attorney, from what I read, was when his partner, Mort, was having a problem with his wife. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about that?
Funny. You never know how your career starts or where you're going to end up in life. It's a simple thing. You end up in a different direction. I was fast asleep one night, and my brother calls me, and he says, I'm with Morty. I'm going to put him on the phone. I said, wait a second. And I was working for the government at the time. He said, wait a minute. What is it? What's the matter? He says, Morty left his wife, and he's in a hotel. So Well, Morty said, I'm going to sleep now. I'm going to the hotel, going to sleep. I'll meet you the next, sometime during tomorrow, I'll meet you. I said, you can't. I'm on the government payroll. If you want to see me, you got to see me very early. And so I saw him very early in the morning, and it was a divorce case. So it gave me a good reason to leave the government, which I was trying to leave anyway. Kennedy, the Attorney General Kennedy had been killed, so I shelved my plans, and now Morty had this my case. Case them, and we started trying the case, and the case was not going too well. But then I proved that the guy who was the best man at the wedding was sleeping with the wife, with Morty's wife. So in those days, the papers used to be more sensational. So the headlines were "Best Man Kisses and Tells." After that, the lawyers who had met the government, civilian lawyers, they had divorce case. They didn't want to try a divorce case. They didn't want to bother them. So they would call me up. And the first year, I was a hit. And it all was because Morty had a fight with his wife.
I understand that, you know, no one wanted to litigate those cases. And because of your experience in litigation in the government, that's why they were calling you to litigate their cases?
Yeah, because I tried so many cases there. For 3 years, I was trying cases. Close to 4 years. And it's exactly as you say. Lawyers had these cases, and they didn't want to bother. They're messy cases. They ended up never getting paid, a lot of them. And people hate you. And so I picked up these cases, and that's how I started. You make one snap decision, or you meet one snap person in life, and your life goes a different direction.
Well, I got to ask you about this one, because I don't know if I read it in your book or on your website, but you had a way of detecting whether a man was cheating, and it was, tell our audience about that. You would have the man who thought his wife was cheating call the man who was cheating.
Oh, this is what happened. Yes, this is what happened. Actually, I started this case. Every time Morty's wife had a fight, and she was performing in the nightclub, she was a singer. The head waiter, when she returned to her husband, was carrying her bag. So I said to Morty, let's say his name was Jim. So I said to Morty, you sure Jim is not having an affair with you, didn't have an affair with your wife? In those days, divorce law was very strict. You had to show adultery in New York. And Morty said, no, you got to be kidding. And this went on like three times. I said, Morty, what do you got to lose? Call him up and say, Jim, I know you were having an affair with my wife, but your friendship means more to me than my wife. So I force him to make the call, and he still doesn't say it. I say, Morty, say this. I write it out for him. So he says it. And the guy answers, I'm glad you feel that way, Morty. Your friendship means more to me than your wife, too. And so I say, get him down here. And I got him down here, and there was a very odd scene. I think it's in the book. This jerk is saying how he slept with Morty's wife, and Morty starts sobbing. Jim is so insensitive. He says, don't worry. He says, she lay there like a corpse. Oh, it was not American. and that was the start of, we went to court the next day, and then the headlines ensued, and that's it.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Life is strange. Life, you never know. When you open a door, you never know what's going on the other side. Woody Allen says, half the secret of life is showing up.
Well, speaking about marriage, I want to go into your experience as an attorney with, if I read correctly, right after we come out of some music, with the mafia. Is that correct? Did I read that right?
I had a number of experiences with the mafia because I was an organized crime, and then, of course, I had it in the my divorce practice, too.
Well, I'm going to talk about that a little bit when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with our guest, Raoul Felder, and his book, which you definitely have to get this book. It is a wonderful read, and it has a lot of insight to it. The title of the book is Reflections in a Mirror of Love, Loss, Death, and Divorce. Speaking of love, let's get into this one, some marriage. When We Get Married by Larry Graham. We're going to come back and talk to our guest about his experience with the mafia. Here inside the Love Zone USA.
Darling, and send invitations to all our friends and relations, and we'll have a ball dancing and all when we get married. When the bells ring to tell the world I'm taking your hand, folks from all over will come to see the wedding we plan. We'll have a ball, dancing and all, when we get married. And we'll have a ball, and darling, it will be so wooey, so grand. Have a ball, and sweetheart will be as one. Let's wait and see. Our wedding day is not very far. And they'll say how lovely we both are. And we'll have a ball, dancing in awe when we get married. You and me, when we get married.
Love Zone USA, where you can listen to your heart, and we live and learn. And learn.
I just wanna show you how much I appreciate you. Wanna show you how much I'm dedicated to you. Wanna show you how much I will forever be true. Wanna show you how much you got your girl feeling good. Wanna show you how much you understood. Wanna show you how much I value what you say. Not only are you loyal, you're patient with me, babe. Wanna show you how much I really care about your heart. Never say how it used to be.
Tonight I'm gonna put my body on your body, boy, I like it when you want.
The Love Zone USA. The Love Zone USA. Here, Love Zone, the Temptation. Jaheim.
Hey, how you doing? Baby, what you getting up with? I don't know what your name is or who you came with, but I ain't leaving without you.
Smokey Robinson. Franklin. Celebrate our victory party online broadcast for President Barack Obama. As we go back to our guest, Raoul Felder, and we talk about more of his book, Reflections in a Mirror of Love, Loss, Death, and Divorce. And I'd like to talk to him a little bit about the mafia experience and how he got involved or handling that in your career.
Well, the first contact I had with the mafia was they formed an OCD. They called it Organized Crime Drive, and I was appointed. And they thought it was a kind of promotion in the Department of Justice. But it was the most boring thing you could imagine, reading wiretaps and all this garbage. And they would come in, and they'd turn in their brother-in-law. Anyway, and at that time, there was a show called The Untouchables on TV.
And I remember.
The mafia would meet around a huge table, and Frank Nitti would sit at the head of the table. It was like a board of directors. So one day, Kennedy comes and has a meeting, young Kennedy, has a meeting about what each one of us are doing in this organized crime drive. And I said to him, I said, look, Attorney General, to tell you the truth, I don't think there's such a thing as a mafia. I think these are like, gangs in the neighborhood. Maybe two of them would get together, but there's not a board of directors where somebody's telling them what to do and all of that. Well, he didn't want to hear that. He believed in that, the mafia. So it was a Thursday. By Monday, I was fired from the group. I was doing something else because he didn't want to hear it. Actually, sometime after that, they had Appalachia, where apparently they did have a not a board of directors, but they did have some kind of meeting with the head or whatever. But when I got involved in the divorce business, I took it out of the mafia and was trying a paternity case against Tom Jones, who was a popular singer at the time. He may still be popular. And client, for whatever reason, is on the stand, and this lawyer on the other side is cross-examining her. And on the left field, he says to her, isn't it true you're the girlfriend of John Gotti, you know.
Right.
And anyway, I objected. Anyway, the court day is over. This lawyer is frightened. He said, please talk to John Gotti and tell him I didn't mean it. I was just getting off the track. So now Judge Judy I think it was the last case. She used to be a real judge. So he tells me, you got to speak to John Gotti. Well, I wasn't going to call John Gotti, but I came back the next day and I told him, I spoke to John. Everything's fine. Go ahead with the case. Nothing's going to happen to you. Of course, John Gotti must have had, could care less, I suppose, but made the guy happy. It was easy to make somebody happy.
Wow. And tell our audience also about your involvement with President Carter. I understand that you had a very significant role in helping a young lady get him financed in New York. Tell our audience about that.
You know, and when you get involved in this kind of milieu, one person does another one a favor. Anyway, I owed a favor to a lady in New York. She had recommended clients to me, and she was raising money for Carter. Nobody ever heard of this guy. And so I go to her house, and I see this guy. He's like a country bumpkin. I mean, it sounds ridiculous that he wants to be president. But I contributed money, and now there's the next time Mrs. Carter comes, and there's a group of these money-raising functions. Finally, he's nominated. He was nominated already. And I was at one of these things, a Secret Service agent says to me, because I knew a lot of Secret Service agents from being in the government, says to me, listen, he's riding with us now. In a week, he's going to be riding in yellow cabs. The cabs were yellow in New York. And, of course, he was wrong. Carter was elected president. After he was elected president, right after he was elected president, there was a party. He made a party at 21 for the first 30 supporters in New York. Suddenly, it was 65 people. Anyway, there was a party, and three people who wanted to be Secretary of State and were talked about were in the one room. But then Carter has a thing at the Hotel New Yorker in separate rooms meeting his original supporters.
Okay.
And I got there early, and everybody has a nameplate next, like a name carpet thing. And I'm the only one there, and I see Elizabeth Taylor is there. So I switch it around so she's sitting next to me. And you know, it was quite a thrill for me to be sitting next to Elizabeth Taylor. She was a big star then. And then everybody left at the end of it. Everybody asked Carter questions, made believe they didn't know it was Elizabeth Taylor. She was just some actress.
Hmm.
But 25 years later, I represented her husband and had a case against her.
Wow.
So everything comes around. Oh, but when I left the place, I took her nameplate and I brought it home, and everybody was sitting there. Everybody said Elizabeth Taylor.
How long did you keep it? Was it worth anything?
Later? I often think of it. Somebody stole it from me. I don't have it anymore. But I got closer to her when I represented her husband.
Wow. Wow. And speaking of representing people, before we get back to your brother and talk about the music industry somewhat, Riddick Bowe, I read that you had some dealings with Riddick Bowe.
Yeah,
I represented
him. Johnny Cochran.
Him or his wife?
No, him.
Oh, okay.
Riddick,
okay.
Yeah. What happened is he had criminal charges. Johnny Cochran was representing him. Johnny Cochran told him to hire me, recommended me. The funny thing is I had a case against Johnny Cochran before that, but we got along. We were good friends, even though I was representing his wife. And so he recommended Riddick to me. And it was very sad. Riddick was really a very sweet guy and gentle in the way of that a lot of prize fighters are. I've represented a number of prize fighters over the years. A very gentle guy. And it was sad. He just, you know, never acclimated himself to civilian life after he's heavyweight champion. I learned how powerful a heavyweight champion is in the mind of people. I represented Robin Givens when Mike Tyson was heavyweight champion. And
right.
People would go by me in the streets and curse me from automobiles and so forth. And they took polls. And if she wasn't the most hated woman in the world, her mother was. Well, the truth was,
wow.
They were both trying to help. In fact, the mother particularly. My recollection is she had a son, I believe, who died the same day, month and day that was the birthday of Mike Tyson. And I think this always affected her. She always had a spot in her heart for him. And she did as long as I was involved in the situation. I represented a woman in a paternity case against Mike Tyson. And then I bump into his manager. What the hell was the guy with the big hairdo?
Oh, Don King.
Don King. And Don says, "You're stalking us. You're stalking us." But he's very nice. He happened to be a lovely gentleman. And Tyson, I want to tell you, as far as I don't know if his head is screwed up or not, and it sounded like all these things that happened to him afterwards, the result of having his head screwed up. But he was a very intelligent guy when I spoke to him. And I remember speaking to him for a long time one night. I don't know if he'll remember. He was in California, so it was earlier there. And I was trying to sleep. And for whatever reason, his lawyer may have been with him or told him to call me. And we had he had an intelligence that was very insightful. And I was very impressed by him. He's not as made out as he was made out in the press. And then Dan Cloris, who was a friend of mine, did a documentary about Mike Tyson. And Tyson speaks for a long time. And there, that was the Tyson I heard on the telephone. Very smart, very sensitive, very childlike in many respects. And Riddick was like that, too. But I'll tell you a thing. Riddick comes to see me the first time about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And, you know, we took to work till about 6 o'clock. And Riddick, I said, "Riddick, we better pick up in the morning. You know, it's been a long day." So he said, "Well, I'm not going to go back to Maryland." He lived in Maryland. He said, "I'm going across the street to the Palace Hotel. It's across from my office." And Riddick came with a T-shirt, trousers, a no briefcase, no bed. Anyway, he said, "I'm going across the street to stay in the hotel. I'll register in the hotel."
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm worried about him because, look, let's face it. You see a black man 6'4" without anything walks into a hotel.
Right.
So I said, "Riddick, Let me cross over. Let me go into the hotel with you. And I'm thinking that if they give him any flack, I'll simply say, I want to register for a room, me, and then what's on up with me? And I was thinking, well, I learned a lesson. We get to the door. Before we even got to the hotel, Riddick, Mr. Bo, how are you? Can we have your autograph? Now I walk to the desk, and the guy says, oh, listen, I'll tell you, we have a vacant so-and-so suite, but of course we're only going to charge you for a double room. And by the way, we have this exclusive health club upstairs, and of course you're going to be our member and our guest. And by the way, would you give me an autograph for my kids? So it was a wonderful experience. It was eye-opening. But there's a magic about being a heavyweight champion of the world.
Well, you have seen the world from so many different lenses. You know, I looked at that book, and I was trying to look at it through your eyes. And I got to tell you, you know, I was laughing when the woman interviewed you. I think it's on your website. And she said you own a boat that you never go to or a park. Could you tell our audience about?
Yeah, well, the thing is, when you start making money.
Right.
And I think, well, it's like somebody in the movies or like Riddick and so forth. You don't know what to do with the money. And so there was a period of my life when the money was coming in easy and I wasted money. I bought two homes. Two homes. I had a boat. I had a Rolls Royce. And then the whole thing sickened me. And I got rid of it. And when 9/11 happened, the last thing I had was the Rolls Royce. I sold the Rolls Royce.
Wow.
I didn't feel it's right. I sold it for very little. I didn't think it was right to ride around like that when there were people, so many people were dead and people badly off. But don't worry, I'm losing the money very steadily in the stock market, so it's coming around again, too.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk to you about 9/11, and then I want to close with talking about your brother and how you represented him and some of your experiences with 9/11. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call in right now and win our book that we're going to give away, we're going to give away a couple of books by Raoul Felder. And let me tell you that the book is a very insightful book about life, love, loss, and death. And I want you to give us a call at 347-539-5729. If you want to win the book tonight while on the air, if you have a question for Mr. Felder, feel free to give us a call. That telephone number is 347-539-5729. He has had experiences that you wouldn't believe. They are all in the book, and I learned a lot just from reading some of the chapters in the book. So give us a call. 347-539-5729. And for those of you who don't wish to call us or who are going to be listening tomorrow on our archives, you think you're going to be left out? No, because we're going to have a contest page for you on our Facebook page. That's right, our facebook.com/TheLoveZoneUSA. Right now, I'm going to go into some more music by Michael Jackson. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Raoul Felder about his experience with 9/11. As well as we're going to talk a little bit more about his experience with his brother and handling his affairs. Here inside the Love Zone USA, this is Michael Jackson, the late in my life, on the Love Zone USA.
You will always be the lady in my heart. give you all. Get in my life. Let me be your babe. All over, all over, all over.
Bring her back on the show because her show got rescheduled. I told you about that. November 1st, we were supposed to have her, but we're juggling some things around to get her back on the show. And that's her title track from her album. It's a lovely album. It's called Love Fell on Me. As we're going to take you back to our guest, and we want to talk to him more about his brother and some of his insight there. Raul, could you tell our audience how you got involved with representing your brother? I understand that you did represent some of his handlings of the many songs that he was writing at the time.
Well, he had professionals in the field, but he would discuss it with me from time to time. My impression was, if anybody's interested in, you know, this field of work, that the lawyers in the field were honest if they're on the side of songwriters. But in terms of publishers and record companies, they're a bunch of semi-crooks. And they just took advantage of people whenever they could take advantage of them. My brother managed his own royalty things. I think in the last years of his life, it became too complex. so we had somebody else do it. And actually, even today, after all these years, there's still substantial royalties keep coming in every year.
Are you familiar with the law that my attorney told me about where there's a law, I don't know if it's for mechanical or performance,
yes,
but it reverts back to the artist as long as they go through their attorney and do some things because of the shady deals that were done back in the day?
You can get audits, but the problem with the audits is the guys who do the audits want a piece of the action. That's okay if they get results, but they also want upfront money, and you never know what the audits will show. The copy, I've been out of that business for many years. It used to be two times 28. In other words, if the writer died in the second term of copyright, in other words, let's say year 29, it could go to his family. If he died before, it reverts to whoever wants to publish the thing, whoever wants to sing the song.
Wow.
But then they changed it, and I think it's a much longer span. But I've been out of that business so long, I'm not a reliable reporter there.
I got you. So let me ask you this. You fell into the divorce because of
Morty.
If you had a choice when you were in the government and you were thinking about coming out of that, before that case hit you, did you have any idea of what you wanted to do? Because I read something about you might have wanted to be a doctor or had you.
Well, I went to medical school. I actually, before I was a lawyer, I went to medical school. I stayed there 2 years. I hated it. And then I left medical school. I tell people I failed out. The truth is I never failed out, but people feel better if you tell them you failed. but anyway, in fact, some of my friends are doctors or classmates. They're retiring by now. But I didn't like it at all. And so then I went into law without any idea what I was going to do. Then I got into the government, and I chose the criminal end of it. And I got a lot of good experience. And you get sort of a name tag that stays with you if you work for the government. And then I fell into the divorce business, and there it is. And I lived happily ever after.
I got you. So I know that you are friends with an attorney that I've had on this show,
yes,
Gloria Allred.
Oh, she's great.
Who has done a lot of work in various capacities, mainly matrimonial.
Yeah, and she actually has a very active employment practice. In other words, unfair employment practices. And
right.
She has had me clients over the years, too. But you got to give her credit. She fights. When she gets a client, she fights for them.
I love her. I love her. I've read her story as well out of Philadelphia. And you guys have had somewhat of a similar lifestyle to some degree back in that era.
She's better looking, though.
I don't know about that. You look great in that suit.
Thank you.
Before we close off, Raul, I want to ask you, in regards to people who are thinking about a career in law, what would be your advice and which road? Because there's corporate law, you got matrimonial law, you got entertainment law, you got criminal law. What would you advise looking at it from your lens and your standpoint?
I'm a member from Abraham Lincoln's time. Once you pass the bar, you got to be interviewed by another member of the bar to see if you have ample character. I'm on that committee that does that, and I'm amazed. So all these lawyers, none of them want to deal with people. They want to go to trusts. They want to go to estates. They want to work for corporations. They want to make investment bankers. They want to make lots of money. If my advice to any young person, if you're going to go into law, you got to identify with people and feel good and bad about them and deal with people. That's what it's all about in life. Because if you finish and you work for corporations and mergers and acquisitions, you may make a lot of money, but at the end of your life, what have you done? You've done nothing. You work with people. You help people. Even if a guy's injured in an automobile accident, you help him. You get him money. He starts a life for himself. If you're a criminal defendant, you give people freedom. But the kids don't want to do it today. And I think they're making a mistake.
So reflections in a mirror of love, loss, death, and divorce. And you've been married to Myrna, if I'm correct.
That's right. 49
About
years.
49.
That's a long time, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And marriage, as we all know, has its ups and downs.
Yeah.
I guess you've been through those personally yourself.
Well, in life you have ups and downs, but I never had an argument with her, to tell you the truth. If I'm paid to argue, why do I want to give it away? And I just not worth the effort. I never had an argument with my kids, except my son was fighting with him about what school he wanted to go to. And then in the middle of the argument, as I'm talking, I'm saying to myself, what the hell am I doing? You know, he wants to go, let him go. And that's what we did. And that's the end of the only argument I ever had with two kids.
Wow. And I understand your kids are named Rachel and James, is that correct?
That's right.
Rachel's
a freelance journalist. She's published in the New York Times all the time. And my son teaches sitcom writing at a graduate school at NYU.
Wow. Well, before you go, tell everybody where they can get your book. We're going to be giving it away and having a contest tomorrow for it. So why don't you tell everyone
where they can get it anywhere. Barnes & Noble's. Today, everybody get it electronically. Get it from Amazon. Barnes & Noble's has all these e-books. Get it anywhere.
All right. Well, Raul, I wanted to save The Last Dance for me as the last thing that we would play tonight.
Before we let you go,
I definitely want you to hear that before you do go, because we did a special mix. I know he worked with the Drifters, but before we close with that song, could you tell us how he came about hooking up with the Drifters?
I really have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I think Benny King was the lead singer. He's still around, and every time he sees me, he said, oh, I remember Doc all the time.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you, Mike.
Raul, and we're going to close out with that song tonight. Here inside the Love Zone USA with our guest, our celebrity attorney, Raul Felder. Thank you so much for coming on the show. The name of his book is entitled Reflections in a Mirror of Love, Loss, Death, and Divorce. And we're going to do something special with this Save the Last Dance for Me, because I found another song, another artist who recorded this song. This is one of the most recorded songs, top 10, I understand, of recorded songs. And we didn't talk about publishing a lot, but when you write a song and many other people record it, that's when you really get paid. So we found a version of Michael Bublé and the Drifters, and we mixed them both together, and here it is, inside the Love Zone USA. It's entitled, Save the Last Dance for Me.
You can dance, heavy dance with the guy who gives you the eye, let him hold you tight. You can smile, every smile for the man who held your hand beneath the pale moonlight. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me. Oh, I know that the music is fine, like sparkling wine. Go and have your fun. Laugh and sing. But while we're apart, don't give your heart to anyone. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me. Baby, don't you know I love you so? Can't you feel it when we touch? I will never, never let you go. I love you oh so much.
You can dance,
go and carry you on
dance.
Till the night is gone
dance.
And it's time to go.
You can dance.
If he asks,
you can dance.
If you're all alone,
can
he take you,
you
home?
Dance.
You must tell him no.
Dance.
Cause don't forget he's taking you home, and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me. Save the last dance for me.
Love Zone USA. Back to back to back to back to back.
Dance with the guy who gives you the eye, let him hold you tight. You can smile, every smile for the man who held your hand beneath the pale moonlight. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me. Oh, I know that the music's fine, like sparkling wine. Go and have your fun, laugh and sing. But while we're apart, don't give your heart to anyone. And don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So, darling, save the last dance for me. Baby, don't you know I love you so? Can't you feel it when we touch? I will never, never let you go. I love you oh so much.
Hey, gentlemen, pair up, pair up.
You can dance and go and carry on until the night is gone and it's time to go. If he asks, if you're all alone, can he walk you home? You must tell him no. Cause don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. Dance the last dance for me. Let the music's fine, like sparkling wine. Go and have your fun, laugh and sing. But while we're apart, don't give your heart to anyone. And don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance. Don't forget who's taking you home, or in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me. Oh, baby, won't you save the last dance for me? Ooh, you make a promise that you'll save.
A song written by a man who was on crutches with polio and made hits around the world. I understand his songs have sold over 250 million records. You heard the original by the Drifters, and that one, that version there, which I love, is by Michael Bublé. Save the Last Dance for Me. It's Doc Pomus, and he's the brother of our guest tonight, celebrity divorce attorney Raul Feldman. They both came from meager beginnings. So what's your excuse? He just proved. It's the desire. It's the want to do it. It's the determination to not let any obstacle prevent your life from being what you want it to be. Well, on that note, tomorrow, speaking about somebody who has gone against all odds, we are honoring President Barack Obama tomorrow night. So we invite each and every one of you to tell your friends, come on out and support our president in his next 4 years and his legacy. This is very important because it goes towards his legacy. So I've invited some friends of mine, yeah, the Manhattans, Whispers, Danny Glover, and Ray Gumman and Brown, and a lot of other people, that we're going to have them come out and let them speak as to what his victory meant to them. And we're going to be playing their music and a whole lot of other music. It's going to be a party tomorrow night. So don't bring your soft shoes, all your soft shoes, because we're going to dance tomorrow night here inside the Love Zone. And still have that book to give away. We have Raul Felder's book. If you didn't get a chance to win it tonight, well, tomorrow on our website, facebook.com/TheLoveZoneUSA, there'll be a contest page. You have to fill it out, and we'll choose winners and give it away next week. And this week, WTF Are the Men Thinking? Yeah, that book. Well, you know what? It's getting ready. Time is getting short. We have a contest page on our Facebook page for that book as well. I think we'll give them both, announce the winners next week. So I'm giving you one last chance. Fill out the contest page at our facebook.com/TheLoveZoneUSA, our Facebook page, and fill it out for both books. Tomorrow, the Raul Felder contest page will be up, and the contest page is already there for the WTF Are Men Thinking book, so fill that out, and if you just put your name in it tonight, you don't have to worry about posting it or any of that. I'm eliminating those rules. Anybody who does that tonight, we're going to announce those winners next week and give that book away as well. So on that note, look like the clock on the walls, that's just about all for yours truly, but I would be remiss if I didn't remind you that tomorrow night we want you to be back here, because we never do a show on Friday night, and Friday night is our night to party. It's a victory celebration and broadcast for President Barack Obama. So if you want to call in tomorrow night and say what his presidency excuse me, and his victory meant to you, tomorrow night is the night to do that. Tomorrow night we're giving you a chance, as well as many friends and celebrities that I've invited to stop by and let everybody know and the world know what his victory meant to them. So on that note, well, I'm going to get my little cocktail and drink, and we're going to close out this show. As I always say in closing, I've enjoyed your company and hope you enjoyed mine. For those of you who did, I'll see you another time. Whatever you do, do it with two. It's more fun than one. And just remember, marriage is till death do you part. Make the commitment. It's a commitment. And it has its ups and downs. And hopefully you won't need the services of Raul Felder. But if you ever do, well, just call me, because I got his number on speed dial. And on that note, I'm going to leave you with two songs. One is by Next and the other by Ciara. And the one by Next is simply entitled, "Hey Fellas, Make Her Your Wifey." Here inside the Love Zone USA. Till tomorrow night.
Only love, only one. You're my wifey. Thank you.